Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Many of you may be aware, may not be aware, that I had an opportunity, felt like I needed to do it, found a very inexpensive plane fare. How many of you would agree the $100 round trip to D.C. is pretty cheap? Yeah. And so when I saw that and had Bethany in town, I said, you know what? We could go to D.C., stay outside of the city on the southern side. I know which ways to go and how to stay the safest with everything that's going on. And how many of you are aware that in D.C. on the north side of the White House, there has been an ongoing, and it's not been exactly a summer of love. There has been a lot of conflict and problems in several key cities of the United States. What I wanted to... I heard myself in the past speak. Somebody tuned into the broadcast right here at Vision Church. They prefer the time delay with Pastor Doug. So anyway, so what I wanted to do today is really ask and possibly help us to answer a question. What in the world's going on? What in the world is going on? I heard somebody say that they tried the 7-day trial of 2021 and they decided not to receive it. We've already had the 7-day trial. We'd like a refund. I had a sense, I just knew, and I've studied enough history. If you know me, I'm a bookworm and I like to research and study, and I like history, political science, theology, biblical languages, archaeology, the nation of Israel. There's a whole grab bag there of things that I'm constantly reading. I had an influential person in my life in college say, leaders are readers and readers are leaders. So you need to read. You need to understand what's going on. You need to hear other voices, even voices you don't necessarily disagree with. I mean, you don't necessarily agree with, because most of us prefer to hear voices that we don't necessarily disagree with. We want to hear an echo chamber. We want to live in an echo chamber. And if we're not careful in the church, we can construct our own echo chamber and not be aware of what's going on around us. And so I really want to help us to focus on this idea of what in the world's going on. It's important for us to know what's going on in our world, understand what forces are at play, and how we can lay that up against the scripture and see this as an ongoing saga, developing story, but a cycling story at the same time. I think it was Santayana said, was a philosopher, said that those that do not learn from the mistakes of history are doomed to repeat them. Some people want to say karma, which is an Eastern mystical idea, that in order to come to oneness or to atness or to Brahma status, or there's a couple different ways to come at it, that you go through reincarnations in which you die and then you return to pay for the sins that you committed in the previous time in the hopes that you'll learn from them. And through these endless reincarnations, eventually you'll become refined as a being and then can enter into utopia or oneness with this end state. And that's the Eastern mystical view. Karma says basically that things, what goes around comes around, but that's not what the scripture teaches. The scripture says God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Those that sow to the wind reap a whirlwind. If you sow to the flesh, Paul says, you'll reap corruption. Scripture also tells us, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. What happens to the nation whose God is the Lord? They're blessed. When you depart from that, what happens? You expose yourself and open yourself up to less than the blessings of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have a choice between living life, between walking in the blessings of God and walking not in the blessings of God, how many of you are at least biased towards looking for the blessings? Yeah? I'm going to head towards the blessings. But there are others who get stubborn and filled with their own ideas and their own pride, and they tend to walk not acknowledging the Lord with all of their ways, but leaning onto their own understanding. And when they do, the Lord has promised on one side, if you'll acknowledge me in all your ways, I will make your paths straight. But if you won't acknowledge the Lord, what happens? What is the nature of your path that gets crooked? And one of the reasons that becomes crooked is you move into the cycle of the futility of living life without God, which puts you into this circular pattern of ever learning but failing to come to the knowledge of the truth. And life has a way of beating you up when you don't live it according to the principles of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Things do not go well when you don't acknowledge the Lord, don't seek Him with all of your heart, when you don't lean upon His word rather than upon your own understanding, and you create your own artifice of knowledge and wisdom, and then you seek after that. And so one of the basic things I think that we can understand for our nation is that things are not going very well for America right now, because there's a question about where the people of America stand before God. This is a question. We find people in the valley of decision. We find them betwixt and between. We find them cast about, and so on and so forth. And so as I talk about this, we need to understand some of the ground rules here of what's going on. So secondly, you are not going to be able to rely upon the legacy media. I know this is shocking. Could you all brace yourself? You know, if you're driving, pull over to the side of the road, right? Because this is going to be shocking. You can't basically trust the legacy media because they're not going to give you the whole story. They're only going to give you one side of the story and a little bit of the other side through that lens. And so what I'd like to do is help you to understand, kind of be a reporter, so to speak, informally a reporter, that to share with you, all I can tell you is what I experienced. Is that fair enough? All I can tell you is what I experienced. And I'm not omnipotent and omnipresent, so I can't be everywhere at all the times. I can only tell you where I was. And so we got there, got to our hotel. Notice this thing right away. There were a lot of people on the plane. Of course, they were going to D.C. They had the intentions to go to the same place. They wanted to go and be a part of the big rally at the Ellipse. They wanted to hear the presidents possibly speak for the very last time. And they wanted to be a part of history. What was my motivation? My motivation was, this is going to be historic. This has not, in our lifetimes, this kind of stuff hasn't happened like this. To this degree. Now, by the way, how many of you know that there have been, throughout our history, massive scandals of cheating in elections? This is not new. So I just want to help you to understand, as a people, you're not going to hear the rundown and the lowdown on this. But throughout American history, from the very beginning, we have had problems at the ballot box. Why? Because this is the place at which people contest for power. And what happens when you're in a place where people contest for popularity, for power, for control? Those who desire to be popular and in control contest at that spot, and it becomes all important to them that they win. That they win. Because why? They want power. They want control. They want to dominate. And so the ballot box has always been a contested issue. So our founding fathers had the wisdom to put into the document that understanding, because they had seen ballot boxes be cheated. And they understood that this was a possibility, a probability, because they understood the nature of humanity. So they actually put it into our founding documents that this is how, here's how you check it. If that doesn't work, then you got this. If this doesn't work, you have that. If this doesn't work, then you have that. And I think it's an incredibly insightful understanding of human nature. They understood the question. They had an answer to a question, by the way. Is man basically good or is man basically evil? If man is left to himself, does he tend to improve himself or does he tend to decline? And all of the founding fathers unanimously believed that man left to himself and his own intentions, no matter how good, tends to go off the rails. He tends to become corrupted. They understood the nature of things, and that is, if they're left to themselves, they tend towards decay. Animals left to themselves tend towards problems. Children left to themselves tend towards problems. Governments left to themselves tend towards problems. People left to themselves tend towards problems. They had studied enough history, they read enough Bible, that they had enough examples that this is what happens. And so, I knew this was going to be historic because we had seen something happen in this election that eclipsed 1875 and the election, or 76 and the election of Rutherford B. Hayes, who, by the way, throughout his presidency was called your fraudulence. There was a fight to get Thomas Jefferson elected. It moved all the way into the House of Representatives, and he won 7-6. So we look back at our presidents, and here's how we look back, and we go, wow, they had a great fair and wonderful election, and the rightful winner got it. Wrong. There have been several instances where things have been cheated, and but never at this scale. So I'm going to tell you, As a pastor, this is my opinion, that in this election, the world has not seen, perhaps Venezuela, perhaps the Ukraine, perhaps Soviet Russia, has seen this scale of cheating on every level. And I'm here to tell you, anywhere that a person could cheat, they did. Now, that's awful. Some of you are going, Pastor, that's awful negative, speaking of people that way. This is the nature of humanity, and this is what's going on. So, as I went there, I thought, this is going to be historic. What is this going to mean? What is this going to mean for us as a nation? This is a critical, critical time. So, as I got on the plane and went, I noticed this. There sure was a whole lot of people singing. They were singing God Bless America. They were picking out different songs and the whole plane would sing. And I thought, wow, this is unique. Then we arrived in Washington, D.C. and made our changes to a train. When we got on the train, more planes had emptied. And we found an entire train filled with people wearing red, white, and blue and carrying flags. I saw grandmas and grandpas. I saw a train load of people in their 50s and 60s. I saw veterans wearing veterans hats, carrying the American flag. And they wanted to go to the nation's capital for this historic moment. They thought this was historic. So we got into D.C., huge crowds getting off and on the subway, all kinds of niceness. And they weren't all Texans. That was amazing to me. They weren't all just Texans, but they were demonstrating friendliness, looking out for each other, helping each other do different things. And so this is the crowds I saw get on the train and move towards Washington, D.C. And you probably didn't see that reported. You probably didn't see that reported. We walked around the nation's capital, saw prayer groups right in front of the Supreme Court, gathering and playing songs, worshiping the Lord, praying for our country, recognizing something. Hey, our country is at an inflection point. There is something going on. There is something happening. And so people were there. People had felt called to fast, and they gathered together and they were praying near the Capitol. They were praying near the, where you could go close to the steps, but not up on the steps of the Supreme Court. There were people who were singing. And if you were walking down the street, you'd hear different people singing songs, just groups. God Bless America and different American anthems. You'd heard it. And so it was like, wow, if this was a church area, this would be like a revival. Everybody's there, and it's kind of like a revival. And so it was just a real slice of Americana. I saw Hasidic Jews from New York City walking in groups with their long curls and their black hats. Again, I saw people being pushed in wheelchairs and veterans. I saw young families. I saw entire families gathered together in groups, mom and dad and a couple kids. I saw a broad range of children right up through 18 and 20 and 25 and 30. So I walked around the whole Capitol complex, and man, I got some great pictures. I got some great pictures. Then we turned in for the night, got up very early the next morning, because in order to get in where the president was speaking, we had to show up at 7. And we had to walk through a switchback line of about 10 people across, packed, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And we walked back and forth. As we did, I had a chance to get a good look at about 80,000 people, because they were walking right by me and bumping into me. I was part of this massive sea of humanity gathered in front, and it took until 11 o'clock to get up, go through the security, and get into the standing room only in front of the stage. And so as I walked in there and stood amongst those people, there were very few trash cans, but all the trash was clustered around the trash cans. They didn't think to put dumpsters there or something. And so everybody was scooping up trash, but had no place to put it. And so they were putting the trash there in the trash cans. But I noticed something as I was standing there and amongst the people. You know, people were getting video of the big crowd, to look back all the way to the National, the Washington Monument, and see probably 1 million people were gathered there. 1 million people. And as I stood amongst them, I met people from Nebraska. I found people with men's church groups from Nebraska. I ran into somebody who was here from Colorado, but they used to live in Arlington. And they know people that I know. And so it was just amazing. I just greet somebody else, somebody with a New York accent, New Jersey, Wisconsin. Of course, we have people in our church from Wisconsin and Minnesota. And right across from sea to shining sea, all these groups of people, some of them have a flag, a red, white, and blue hat on, some Trump gear, whatever it was. And I thought, you know what? We're safe here. This is a great crowd. This is a great crowd. But when we would get on the metro to come in and move around, I would see small groups of people. Have you ever been around and said, they're not with us? They happened to get on at the subway stops. If you know D.C., the north of the White House subway stops, which is near BLM Plaza and where the ongoing protests have been going on. At those stops, people would get on that were wearing slightly different clothes. They would have Trump gear on, things like that. They would keep to themselves. And you just had a thought, hey, you know what? I wonder what they're up to. And so we noticed all of that. And I'm thankful to the Lord, because of our schedule, that when the rally was over, we went to leave. Now, I do want to say this, and I'm telling you what my opinion as an observer on the grounds, okay? I was there. And what I have is an opinion that's, I guess, equal and no better than the other 1 million people that were there. But the people I walked around and the people I stood with and the people and what was said, There was nothing said in a way that it was said to actually be an incitement to a crowd to do what happened later in that day. I was in the Uber going to the airport when the reports started to come in about what was going on at the U.S. Capitol. I was not there, but I have good friends that are in the news business that were there. And to a person, they said there were people standing with the police, pushing back against those people that were causing problems. There were things, these people were different. There was something going on. Now, I want to jump in right here and say this. There were people who were there. There were a few people. The Bible tells us, and here's the scripture that kind of came to mind when I considered this. In the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul was preaching the gospel in a town. And it says these words, "And the Jews were jealous because of the many who were responding to Paul's message. And they went and got a few fellows of the baser sort and stirred up a mob and created a riot against Paul." So we see this, even in our scriptures, this idea of getting a group of people stirred up to do stuff that they themselves would not do. But there's this dynamic of the crowd being moved by people who know what they're doing. Now this is not to, please hear me, I am not excusing people who acted illegally or violently at the United States Capitol. I'm here to tell you that they are very few people. And that the catalyst to that was a purposeful, planned group of people with a purpose and a plan politically and in crowd, because what's on the line is the direction of our nation. What's on the line is who's going to lead. These are high stakes. These are very high stakes. This is why there was unprecedented cheating in multiple states. This is why there's been an ongoing unethical attack at the ballot box in multiple states. And we have to understand the truth, right? The Bible tells us, you know the truth sets you free. You have to know the truth. And the truth is, the nature of man being what it is, and the stakes being so high, the higher the stakes, the more likely, and the less, if you're not going to be prosecuted. Now, we need to understand what's going on in D.C. and has been for months. What's been going on in D.C. and has been for months is that key leadership in the city has looked the other way. As people have come in from all over the country, they've been hired, paid by the hour. They have trained online and with each other, and they have been escorted by the police to go to hot spots and cause problems. And the top leadership of our country, the leader, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, has said, you know what? People are going to do what people do. They've torn down statues, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They have damaged to the tune of $1 billion. And the response of our leadership there, the mayor, people in charge, heads of the police, so on and so forth, people in political office, has been nothing to see here, folks, nothing to see here. These people have been functioning in D.C. They know the city of D.C. They know the ingress and egress points. They know the patterns of the police. They know all of that. And I'm telling you, they have come in and they've gotten a few fellows of the baser sort. They've paid them, they've organized them, and they have come in and they have done this. And they have suckered in people who probably otherwise wouldn't do it. Now, I will say this. Anybody who's done that needs to be identified, needs to be charged, and needs to face their law. But I will tell you this as well. Don't be surprised if the key instigators get lost in the system, if they disappear and surface somewhere else in the country. I just want you to realize what's going on. What in the world is going on? What is going on in our country? Okay? So what I needed to do is I needed to tell you, I guess, the bad news first. Some of you are going, oh my goodness, here we are in the new year, Pastor, and aren't you supposed to encourage us? Now, is it okay if we talk about what we can do to be encouraged? Or would you rather go home kind of just an inch above the carpet? Okay? There are people that were on the plains and in other places that were as deeply grieved about that as anyone else. There were people who stood up and prevented people from doing dumb things and stupid things. There were people on one side of the Capitol who had no idea what was going on the other side of the Capitol. There were people praying, worshiping the Lord, playing the guitar, singing, standing out in the cold together and praying over the leadership of the country as the Word of God tells us to do, and praying over the Capitol and being a presence there, peacefully assembling as they were asked to do, to simply be patriots and be peaceable. And that's exactly what they were doing. Some of them went all the way back to their hotel an hour or so later, not knowing what had happened inside the Capitol, because they were at the Capitol, and if you'd ask them, they'd say nothing happened. People worshiped, people prayed. But on the other side of that Capitol, some people had gone in and done what they had done, and shots were fired, and somebody lost their life. A policeman was in the crush of the crowd and died from his injuries. This is atrocious, and this is horrible. But we have a leadership which reacts strongly one way and reacts not at all the other. And we have a media which will not tell us, will not show us what is really going on. So, as a pastor, let me tell you for the next minute or two before we pray. How many of you know we need to pray this morning? This is no fun. I wanted to show you beautiful pictures of the Lincoln Memorial and stunning photos, thanks to my iPhone, not because of my skills, of the reflecting pool and the Capitol building, beautifully lit and all that, because I knew this was a momentous historic occasion. Standing in a crowd of a million people and no one gets hurt. Standing in a crowd of a million people and not one fight breaks out. Try that one on. Standing in a crowd of 1 million people on the National Mall, and there is no one that even has a scratch. And if people can find a trash can, they're putting their trash away. Over against this image of the U.S. Capitol an hour later, when the mix completely changes. And what's happened? A few fellows of the baser sort have been hired, have come in, become a catalyst, and have sucked some other people in. And those who have acted as they should, they need to be dealt with. What in the world's going on? America has a fight for its soul. We are witnessing an intense battle for the soul of our country. Now, I've told you the kind of sporting events I enjoy. Here's my ideal team. Are you ready? This is the way I like to enjoy sports. You ready? I have a team that scores, if it's football, 100 points. By halftime. If it's basketball, they're up by 100 points at halftime. I want a team that it's never in doubt the win. That's what I want. I want to support sports where from the first minute of the kickoff, they always run the kickoff back for a touchdown. They always intercept the next four downs. They don't even get four downs at all. On the first down, they attempt a throw. It's intercepted, run back for a touchdown. If they try to run, the ball's stripped out of their hands, and it's run back for a touchdown, and it's just a score fest. And they have to add an extra numeral to the scoreboard in order to show my team. That's the kind of team I want. But how many of you know that when it comes down to a sporting event or it comes down to a war, there are battles? And in a battle, you feel the momentum shift. Now, do you know the memorable battles or the memorable games that linger on in my memory? It's the close game that comes down to the overtime or the final seconds. I remember both the ones my team lost and the ones they won. I can highlight two of them against two different teams. One was back in the 70s, my beloved Minnesota Vikings and my hated Dallas Cowboys. This is before I came to Texas and the Lord had done a work in my life. But during that time, I had nothing but bitterness in my soul towards Dallas and their stinking Cowboys. And all the Redskins and Giants fans said. And so it was in the last seconds of the game, there was coined for the first time the phrase, the Hail Mary pass. Offensive pass interference was committed by Mr. Pearson, the wide receiver. He violated the rules of football, got away with it, caught the ball and ran in for a touchdown. And the Dallas Cowboys defeated the Minnesota Vikings in a playoff game and went on to play in the Super Bowl that year. Roger Staubach was the quarterback, and I had to work over the bitterness. Why did that linger on with me? Because the game went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and then the last seconds, there was a score that eliminated my team, and that is a day which in my memory lives in infamy. But then not long ago, I was able to witness two times in two different seasons my beloved Minnesota Vikings play the New Orleans Saints. And on a last second play in both instances, win the game. That game will live, the Minneapolis Miracle with Stephon Diggs will live on in my memory. Why? Because of the back and forth and the high tension, it got my attention focused in on the circumstances and situations so that when the outcome was determined, all eyes were fixed on the outcome and it lives on in our memory. Now, how many of you know that God wants to do a memorable thing in our country? Let me ask that again. How many of you believe that God wants to do a memorable thing in our country? Has God given up on America? Has he given? No, he hasn't given up. He hasn't given up. We're watching a war that has battles in it. And we have felt the shift of momentum. How many of you have just enjoyed the shift of momentum from election day to this point? Okay? No. How did we want it to go? No doubt, total win, whichever side, totally understood and decided before we went to bed on election night. That's how we wanted it to go. Isn't that, that's just like me and my sports teams. That's how we would like it to go. But how does it really go? It's a war. It is a fight of differing ideals and values. And some of them are good values that come into opposition. Some of them are sinister and bad values that have come into opposition. And the soul of our country needs to be contended for. And there's nothing more or less that the enemy would love to have happen, but for the church to disengage from being salt and light in its community and being salt and light in its country. To absolutely tear down your morale and absolutely let all the wind out of your sails would be nothing more or less that the enemy would love to do. And everything that is going on through the media and everything that's coming over the airwaves, everything that's coming to you in print, everything that's coming to you in social media, the irony of ironies is it's been told to us for 4 years that the man in the Oval Office is a Hitler and a tyrant and a dictator. When was the last time you saw a dictator lose his Twitter account? When was the last time you saw a private company strip the president of the United States of his email, his Twitter, and all means of communicating? Folks, if you're looking to that man to be the tyrant and the dictator, you swallowed hook, line, and sinker a deceptive misdirection by the enemy. The enemy is actually coming at us through big tech media and media. Now, I've got something I want to encourage you with and just ask you to think with me, because it's a very famous story in the Bible found in 1 Kings. You don't even need to turn there. And it's the story of Elijah and the priests of Baal. Remember that story? And who are the priests of Baal? The priests of Baal are the prophets who speak on behalf of the Baals, on behalf of the gods. And what they want to do is they want to be with the king, they want to support the king, and they want to make sure that the king does what it is that they want him to do. And their most powerful ally was Jezebel, because Jezebel loved the worship of the Baals. And for 3 years, they were in charge in the nation of Israel, but there came a showdown. And when all eyes of the nation of Israel were focused on the prophets of Baal, who said that they could predict the weather, they were the rainmakers and they were the kingmakers. And what they said was God was word in the heaven, and it was settled over the people. Suddenly there was a problem, and that was there was no rain. Baal looked like he was failing. And then there came a showdown where the people's eyes were focused. And when they were focused on that altar and it was rebuilt, there was fire which came down from heaven and a great victory which came out in the middle of it. I'm here to tell you that God is able if we are willing. If we will pray, if we will seek his face, he said, if my people, sometimes we wish that the media would do it, and we wish that other people in charge would do it and powerful, but you know what he does? He says, if my people, the disenfranchised people, the people who are frustrated, the people who feel like, what's going on? The people who feel like their world is turned upside down. The wind is blowing against us. There's some waves that are crashing against our boat and against our shore. There are some things that are very unsettled in the country of the United States of America. And if we're not careful, it could go to a horrible, horrible situation. Absolutely. I'm not advocating that it does. I'm simply warning you as the body of Christ. I'm warning you as my church. We are on the edges of a historic moment, and it can go one way or the other. And it's really up to the people. It's up to we the people. And a part of that we the people is a group of people whose God is the Lord. They are people who say, before I'm an American, I'm a Christian. Before I'm anything else, I'm a believer in Jesus, the Christ of God. I'm connected to the one who is freedom, the one who brings true freedom and true liberty. Because friend, it doesn't do you any good to go after freedom if you don't come into relationship with God, because you just can't hang on to it. The enemy always promises freedom and instead delivers bondage. And so we are feeling the winds blowing. We're feeling the political winds that are fierce. There is opportunism in the air right now when they're trying to make major shifts in our country. But I'm here to tell you that there's more than a political solution to that. And the political it's more than a political solution is, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That promise is still standing there. So while we're here and wondering what in the world's going on, I'll tell you what in the world's going on. Business as usual. The business of the darkness. And as these winds are blowing, they risk us getting our boat turned upside down, risk us becoming unstable, risking us losing confidence, risking us losing heart, risking us casting away our confidence, risking us losing faith. And I'm here to tell you, as much as I enjoy being up there, my hope is not built in the monuments of D.C. and even in that 200-and-something-year-old piece of paper with some amazing writing on it. My hope is built in nothing less than the Word of God. Amen? We're not of this world. We're just passing through. But we want to be salt and light into the darkness and into this upsettedness. So we just need to realize what's at stake. There is some stuff at stake. This is important. This isn't just a football game. This isn't just a political contest. And let's not buy into the notion that a political party can bring the kingdom of God upon the earth. That's a fool's errand, and that's crazy. But we do know that there are people that are hanging in the balances, and there are some wicked and evil forces. There are demonic forces. There are some ugly things that want to sweep in and absolutely capsize this nation and take it in a whole nother direction. But it has to get through us first. Amen? It has to get past us first. And it's trying to discredit us. It's trying to tie us into what happened at the U.S. Capitol. It's trying to say that moral people who stand for righteousness and stand for things that can't be changed and transformed, they're the ones who stand in the way of progress. It's all a game. It's all a PR thing. It's all a psychology thing. And the forces of the darkness of the air are at work. But do not be afraid. Let me just say these words, fear not. The Lord says, fear not, for I am with you. He's with people in other nations that have never known what freedom is. The church is thriving and it's growing. It's growing in China. It's growing in South America. It's growing in Saudi Arabia. Because he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Give the Lord a hand clap. But let's take some soberness in our heart. I know it's not a happy thought. I know we much rather be joyous. But let us be sober and be vigilant. Because our adversary, even the devil, is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he might devour. And let us stand in the gap for our family and stand in the gap for our country. I'm going to invite you to stand this morning and let's just pray. Lord, we just pray over our nation. We start with our family and the people we know and we love, and we move outward from that. Lord, you see, we know that there's corruption. We know there's cheating. We know there's lying. This is the nature of human beings. We know that people aren't being honest. We know that people are on the take. We know that people are being bribed. We know that people love power. We know that the human nature tends towards corruption and falling apart on its own. But Lord, there is hope. We have hope because we know you. We know you. You are the Lord. Your throne is established in the heavens. And we can appeal to you as the judge of the earth. And Lord, we just continue to pray, Lord, that we, your people who are called by your name, would humble ourselves. Lord, help us to hear the message of humility and respond to the message of humility. Help us to activate and do what it is that we need to do and not sit on our hands. And Lord, help us to do so righteously. Help us to do so, Lord, realizing what's in the balance. It's more than just a country, more than just a team, more than just a sports team. But this is the souls of people. This is the destinies of people. This is the future of people. And Lord, we're praying for everything that has been done in the darkness to be revealed in the light. We're praying for every hidden work of darkness to be exposed and revealed to the light. Lord, we're praying for those that are believers and those that belong in the kingdom of light, not of darkness, and are great videographers and great reporters and great producers. Lord, that you would raise up some trusted voices in this time of some people who speak the truth in love, who let us know really what's going on and help us to understand what's going on in our world. But more than anything, Lord, help us to tune our ear and lean in and listen to you. Help us to tune our ear to you and really listen to what you're saying. There are so many voices we should know better than to trust. But your voice, we can trust. You speak with a clear, still voice into our spirit. And we can believe you. We can trust you. And so we're asking, Lord, that above the wind and the noise and everything that's going on that's stirring emotions and feelings and people's passions and people's angers, Lord, we're praying. Rather than being frustrated and turn that out in an ungodly activity, we would become connected to you, become humble, repentant, and then respond in such a way that honors and glorifies you and advances the kingdom of God in the midst of this generation that are affected by this. Lord, this is historic. This is major. This is big. And Lord, we want to respond in such a way that honors you, glorifies you, and draws people to you. And we ask that, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Well, the Lord bless you and his peace be upon you. And his grace rest upon you, giving you strength for every step as you lean into him. Amen? Lord bless you as you go.